shot. I don't give a crap anymore.
Whatever this beast is.
Welcome to the Screaming Boy Podcast. This is our first live episode, and I'm kind of at a loss right now because I've never really done a live episode of our own. It's always been somebody else running it, thankfully. So I'm a little scared. Somebody hold me.
Don't be scared. Don't be scared.
But right now, I am joined by my co-host, Adam Runyon. Say hello, Adam.
Hello, Adam.
there it is. I was hoping he followed up with that.
And as you can hear,
it's like you know when a bride and groom, they eat their cake, and it's like they're pushing it into their mouth, and all of a sudden they slam it in there and kind of cram it in. It's like it's just obligatory.
Obligatory. We're also joined by Jesse Starcher, our comic book correspondent.
That's right. And
host of the comic book podcast Source Material on the Radulich and Broadcasting Network. Say hello, Jesse.
Ha ha! I cannot infringe upon what Adam just did, but I will say hello, everybody out there in podcast land.
And we are also joined by the Invisible Man himself.
Callback
to another episode of Source Material, actually.
Don't go back in the Screaming Boy archive looking for that one.
No, it's invisible there. We're joined by our video game correspondent and all-around awesome guy, Justin Thomas. How you doing, Justin?
Oh, doing pretty good. How's it going, guys?
I'm well. So we decided to go ahead and do this live and try it out on Google Hangouts, put it up on YouTube, and see how that does. And right now, I'm telling you this, I am the most intimidated I've ever been by doing this live. What about you guys? Well, Jesse, you're an old hand at the live shows.
Ah, yeah, come on, geez. What are you scared of here? People out there in internet land, nothing to be afraid of. They don't get angry about nothing or really watch every little mistake that you make or anything like that.
They're a bunch of sweethearts. Bunch of sweethearts.
That's funny. It's funny, Jesse, because I was thinking about stuff like that today. Because I was like, you know, the Olympics are going to be great. We've had the Olympics for like 2 days, and we've already had like the most evil, hateful, vile stuff that's been ever said on the internet has been said in the last 2 days. Wow. So I was like, well, that didn't take long. Now did it?
hey, they're drawing attention from us, I guess. So.
Well, actually, the one thing that I saw recently on the Olympics was America, you know, USA got its first gold medal, and
we did,
and it was in the shooting event. So of course, everyone broke the internet trying to make jokes about that.
Who was the Olympic gold medalist was someone that. From your guys' home state.
Yeah.
Yes, she has the greatest name ever, too.
And what is that name?
I don't remember it.
It's Virginia Thrasher. I am not making this up, man. Virginia Thrasher from West Virginia won the first gold medal in the rifle shooting competition.
Oh, that's awesome.
How awesome is that?
Oh, wow. So it is, man, I'm telling you what.
Everybody's
leave us alone.
Everybody's going to be wanting her in a Marvel movie now, just like they did Ronda Rousey. Yeah.
For what? The Punisher's daughter? I don't know.
Clearly,
the Punisher's daughter.
Something to do with Hawkeye.
I'm just saying that everything that, like, Ronda Rousey for Miss Marvel, and now I don't doubt that they're going to do something with her now, too. You know?
Well, I personally think she would make a really good Miss Marvel if she didn't have to act.
You have to open her mouth? Is that what you're saying?
She's not much of an actress from what I've seen.
She'll kill you, Ronnie.
I know. I mean, but she's pretty.
She'll kill you.
She could be the current one's stunt double.
Yeah. There we go.
Brie Larson, wasn't it? Isn't that the new? Huh?
Is she now Captain Marvel?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Brie Larson. She'll do really well. But I think there's a large size difference between the two, especially in the muscle tone area.
Probably.
Ronnie, you're gonna get killed.
I'm tiptoeing around this, like they actually are gonna hear this and then hunt me down and say,
"Hey, call me big." Rumor has it that Ronda Rousey was a moderator in a Pokemon forum, so she may.
Yeah, she may.
Just may.
She may do it. We don't know yet.
Did he drop?
I don't know. Adam, are you there?
Somebody tag her. Somebody tag her in a tweet and see what she says.
She'll be.
What happened?
Cut out.
She'll be sticking a Pokemon on him.
There you go.
I called you Charizard.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Sherlock of all ages, if you're wondering what we are gathered here tonight for, we have gathered here tonight. We are asking, as we said, to grab your leg warmers, to gather up your and count your Garbage Pail Kids, and do not, it's coming about that time, do not feed your Mogwai after midnight. We're going on a trip to the Upside Down in the 80s, and we're going to talk about Stranger Things. Now, I saw a trailer for this on Netflix, and immediately I was incredibly intrigued because I didn't know where it was going. I didn't know anything about it. So I noticed that Winona Ryder was in it, and then David Harbour, who actually I do enjoy. He's been in quite a few movies, but the one I can think off the top of my head was The Equalizer with good old Denzel. And then, of course, it had some kids in there. So I didn't know, Matthew Modine is in it as well. So I didn't know what to expect. And it was one of those, Netflix series. Now, Netflix series have been not hit and miss. They've hit more than they've missed. There's some on there that I haven't really cared about. But you've got Daredevil, which is just, Marvel can do no wrong. Jessica Jones. There was a couple of movies that I've really enjoyed, Netflix originals. And then you had Adam Sandler's Netflix originals, The Do-Over and The Ridiculous Six. So I was like, ugh. I don't know what to think about this.
Oh, man, there's trailers for Luke Cage, Defenders and all that. Oh, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, I want to give Netflix the benefit of the doubt on a lot of this. So I was definitely kind of pumped up for it, especially when I found out that it was going to be based in the 80s. So did you all? We'll start with Jesse. Did you see anything about it before, or did you catch all your information secondhand from people who were watching it or telling you about it?
I think I caught the trailer first, like very shortly after it. After it came onto the, I don't know if it was right before it came onto the network, before it mm-hmm. came onto Netflix or not. But anyway, I watched the trailer. I really wasn't grabbed, and what grabbed me was definitely the response that a lot of people gave it on Facebook and social media. That right there was where I was like, okay, this might be something that's mm-hmm. worth paying attention to. And me and the wife, actually, Ronnie, I believe it was you, it was like, hey, have you seen any of this? And I was like, I wasn't too interested. And you were like, well, cross over this, 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 and this with this, and this, and this. And I was like, okay, I'm down.
Calm down, Ronnie.
So I said, I want, at that point in time, I was like, okay, me and my wife really kind of enjoy shows like that. Right now, just kind of give you an idea of what we're watching after this particular series is a show called The Returned, and it's similar in tone. But anyway, me and my wife kind of like that type of paranormal strangeness, X-Files goodies. So that was where I got the incentive to go and watch the show.
See, knowing that about you, I knew, because you're an X-Files fan, and you enjoy, you know, sci-fi, not so much horror, but sci-fi, a lot of sci-fi. In fact, we spent probably a good 45 minutes to an hour tracking down the name of a short movie for you.
I can't thank you guys enough for that one. That was some hard work that went into finding just a sliver of what was in my brain from close to 15 years ago, and jeez, researching IMDb stuff and all that. For those out there that are wondering, I was looking for a time travel short film that showed up on a show called, oh man, what was the name of that show? It was on Sci-Fi Channel.
You yelled at me about the name of it.
I was like, it was called, I can't remember. It came out on the Sci-Fi Channel. Anyway, all they did was just show short films from different directors. And we had to do some, all I knew was something about what the plot was. And what I thought it was actually completely wrong, except for the time travel part and kind of like, you know, the thriller part of it. But anyway, before we go off onto that topic, I just want to thank you again for finding it. It was called, was it Jimmy? Billy?
Jimmy.
Billy? Bobby? Bimmy? Bimmy from Double Dragon.
Bobby, remember the name.
Bobo?
Jimmy Loves Mangoes or something like that.
Jimmy Loves Mangoes, yeah.
Something like that. Anyway, I posted on my Facebook feed. I'll post again because I absolutely love that. I love going back and watching it again. I'm glad it's on YouTube.
Did it hold up over time?
I thought it was all right. I didn't hate it. I thought it was okay. I mean, considering it was a, 20-minute short film shot on limited budget, it wasn't like there were special effects, but I love the – of course, you guys know I'm a big freaking mark for time travel, so count me in.
Yeah. So, Justin, did you hear about this like firsthand from Netflix trailer, or was it from social media friends here, you know, secondhand, like Jesse was saying?
Pretty much. I just like heard from all you guys, and then I heard it from my friend Mike, and basically I was like, okay, can you just tell me kind of about it without any spoilers? And he just kind of basically described 80s stuff to me, because he knows I'm a big 80s fan. I'm into everything 80s. And I was like, okay. And then I read the synopsis for it, and I was like, yeah, I'm watching this. And I actually end up binge-watching the whole series.
I did as well.
Could not stop. I mean, it was just pulled me in.
Oh, it was incredible. Adam, what about you?
So I'm sitting on my couch doing nothing, and I get this text from Ronnie. He's like, hey, have you ever seen Stranger Things? I'm thinking, oh, man, what is this? You know,
well, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Hey, Adam.
What?
Were you drinking your Ecto Cooler?
No, this is before I realized that it came out. And by the way, they came out with Ecto Cooler, and now I saw, rumor has it that Pepsi has come out with Crystal Pepsi.
There's no rumor, sir. My sister had some.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, do you remember that stuff being good? I don't remember that stuff being any good.
Oh, I drank that up, man.
Really?
I did.
I'm going to have to get some. So I get this text message from Ronnie, and he's like, have you seen it? And I was like, no, I haven't. And he kind of went through the whole thing, you know. And the thing that kind of made me a little standoffish was that it had Winona Ryder in it. And I'm like, oh, man.
Not a fan? You
know, so I kind of – no, I'm not.
Oh, wow.
She was good in Mr. Deeds.
All right, calm down.
Maybe Little Women, but that's about it.
Beetlejuice.
But anyway.
Yeah, what about that?
Anyway, it was a couple of days that I got to watch it, and I remember I had about an hour to blow, and I was like, I'll go ahead and watch it. I watched it, and I was like, holy cow, this is so good. So I started another episode. I ended up watching 3 episodes in an evening, and I was texting the whole time. I was like, what happened to Will? Is Will going to live? I don't know. What's going on? And he's like, I'm not telling. And I was like, I hate you.
Yeah, I was pretty rough on him on that. So basically, you all are saying in not so many words that you have me to thank.
Yeah, you pushed it on us, man.
So, oh goodness, that was disgusting. I apologize.
A little cough button right there.
You didn't even cough up something with that, did you?
A lung, maybe. I don't know. But so if you were living under a rock somewhere or don't have Netflix or just don't care, Stranger Things is a Netflix series, and it is a science fiction horror series, and it was created by the Duffer Brothers. Now, I haven't really heard of the Duffer Brothers before this, and they really hadn't done anything other than Wayward Pines. They wrote Wayward Pines. Is anybody familiar?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They were actually raised in Durham, North Carolina, which is right around where I live right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I really hadn't, you know, I haven't gotten into Wayward Pines yet. I would really like to. I've heard some good things about it. But I was really curious about it. When I saw the trailer, I was like, all right, you know, and it's based in the 80s. I was like, all right, let's give this a try. And when I got into it, it is, you know, like I said, it has one owner writer, David Harbour, Finn Wolfhard, Millie Bobby Brown.
No. And
Millie Bobby Brown.
Who is That's Millie? Now, who was that?
11.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And the plot, basically, it follows the disappearance of a young boy, who is Will, and a telekinetic girl who helps her friends in their search for the young boy, while the boy's older brother and the town police start their own investigations. And it just goes off and off the rails in a good way.
It does. You know? It really does go off the rails. I mean, it spirals out of control, but the whole time you're just like, I can't stop watching this. This is so stinking good.
Yeah. And it's set in the thing that really got me, it is set in the 1980s, and I think Indiana, and and it bases, I mean, like, it's an homage to 80s pop culture, and you can really feel like the different works of all these different directors and different things like that, you know, like George Lucas and the writers like Stephen King and Steven Spielberg and definitely some John Carpenter in there, and different movies that go along with it. I think, Justin, you said something about parallels to Poltergeist.
Yeah, I was talking about that earlier.
Yeah, and even the title of the second episode, if you all hadn't noticed, was based after a title of a, if y'all can name it, I'll give you some cool points as to after an 80s horror movie. Y'all remember?
I don't remember.
The second episode name?
Yeah. Chapter 2, The Weirdo on Maple Street.
Oh,
is that it?
Yeah. No, it's called Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Sure.
Missed that one. Sorry.
So anyway, maybe I'm the only one who caught it, but like I said, it has all, and then you catch all the pop culture references in it that, you know, based around stuff that I as a kid enjoyed. So you've got these four young boys and that are sitting around, and as soon as, you know, pretty much it introduces them, they're playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, and, yeah.
And I immediately I was like, I'm done, I'm hooked. You know, these kids are.
Man, it's so great though, and I don't mean to interrupt, but one of the best lines in that thing, they were like, yeah, this was a short campaign. It was only 10 hours.
You want to ask someone about Dungeons and Dragons? Ask Jesse about that.
Why would? Okay, now listen, I played Dungeons and Dragons. Maybe
immediately he puts the boxing gloves up. Hold on now.
Now I played Dungeons and Dragons once or twice in my life, and
I remember you
not
telling
the actual
me
D&D.
Now, I remember you telling me a story about this though.
Is this the Kron story?
I believe so.
Okay, I'll tell this quick story, and I promise we'll get right back to it, Ronnie. D&D.
Yeah.
I sat down. I played D&D. I think actually once time. I've played plenty of other RPGs, don't get me wrong. But I never sat down and played D&D. I don't know if it was too intimidating to me or I just, you know, I didn't feel like worshiping Satan. But it was... it carried that stigma in my life for quite a while, believe it or not.
I'm sure
it did for some of you guys. But anyway, I sat down and I had the most interesting, crazy experience. I was kind of a grown man at that point in time. I think I was like 17 or 18, so I'm on the cusp of adulthood. And I was invited...
Not to interrupt you, but I think that applies to all four of us now. We're kind of adults.
Still working on it.
We're still working on it.
We're trying hard not to, though. We're trying really hard not to be.
That's right.
So, sorry, Jesse, go ahead.
No, you're right. So I get invited to go over, and my buddy Jason, he's like, dude, we got to go play. I was like, okay, because Jason was all about it. He's been wanting me to play forever and a day. Now, we went over and played at somebody. It was a co-worker's house. So we sit down and we start playing. Now I'm into having a good time with my buddies and playing, you know, rolling the dice, shooting the crap. I think there's an internet video of some guys playing. It was all CGI. I don't know, you guys probably remember this, but it's a bunch of people sitting around playing D&D and, hey, I want to shoot the fireball or something crazy like that. Well, that's the kind of crap I was used to. Who's got the Cheetos? Anybody want a Mountain Dew? That was the kind of stuff that I was used to. Now the people I sat down with got into character, and that scared the ever-living crap out of me. Because her husband, this guy I knew just, you know, passingly while I was working, was somebody that was a nice guy, you know. But when we sat down, he became this, like, he was this thief, and, of course, he held up to his... what are they called? The, you know, you're like chaotic good
lawful bad. Yeah,
I can't remember. So anyway, he becomes that guy, Kron the thief.
Yeah, he takes his role seriously, man.
Dude, never went back. And then to top it off, I see the guy, at least probably close to 10 or more years after that, working at Walmart pushing the carts, and every time, Kron! one night, he became Kron, and he was Kron forever thereafter.
Oh,
so,
man.
Anyway, that's my D&D experience. That's like
there's an episode of, and I'm not a huge fan of the show anymore. I used to like it, but on Big Bang Theory, where they're all playing role-playing games, and Sheldon becomes I think it may be World of Warcraft, actually, but he's a Night Elf rogue. And everybody hates him. And he's like, don't you guys know the rules of a role-playing game? He's like, I'm taking on my role. They're like, yeah, but you don't have to do that in real life, you know? You know, and he was like, well, why not? I'm just staying in my character. And it's like, I don't know. And that's exactly what that reminded me of.
Well,
but yeah.
I'm with you, Jesse. We played in high school. And so the most you'd find when we played, you'd wake up in the morning after we'd play and laugh and carry on. Was a bunch of guys that were passed out on the floor and pizza boxes and soda bottles laying around.
Jolt Cola.
That's the life, man.
So it was one of those things where, like, I some people took it a little too seriously, I guess. I'm also reminded, do y'all remember that awful after-school special that had Tom Hanks in it?
I don't know if that was an after-school special,
Okay, I thought.
I think it was an actual movie that he was in. I know what you're talking about, where he takes on and goes looking for some wizards and ends up...
Oh, yeah, Philadelphia, yeah.
Speaking of Denzel Washington. Jeez.
But it was
the Game Master.
It was obviously...
Did you say Game Master?
I said Game Master. I knew somebody was...
we're live, boys. We're live.
Live and game, direct. I want to make sure I got stuff straight here.
Oh, jeez.
Come on.
Oh, my gosh.
She just dug it even deeper.
Punisher.
Punisher.
Oh, so we went from like a PG rating straight to like PG-13. Now we're starting to get into the... My mom won't let me listen to this podcast.
I didn't say it. I was just...
All I gotta say is, guys, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to Screaming Boy
Productions. You're a jerk. And we do that mostly because I mess up a lot.
You and me both, man.
Mazes and Monsters, TV movie, with a current rating of 4.2.
Out of 5 or 10?
Out of 10.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. So, these kids, we have Finn Wolfhard as Mike Wheeler, the son of Karen Wheeler, and the younger brother of Nancy Wheeler, and one of the three friends to Will Byers, who's a young man who's also playing, and one of the four friends. We have Mike Wheeler, we have Gaten Matarazzo as Dustin Henderson. Now, he's one of my favorite characters in the whole thing. He's a fan of comic books, and he's logical, and he's funny, he's awkward. He doesn't have his permanent front teeth yet because he has cloudocranial dysplasia.
Yes.
I told you that already.
Pardon?
I told you that already. That's what he says, remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I told you that a million times.
And the young man, Gaten Matarazzo, actually has that in real life. He has that condition. It causes him to lisp. He has, it's a condition which affects your teeth and bone structure as you're young, as you're growing. It kind of, I guess, holds it back. And they have they have bell-shaped rib cage, and it's a hypodysplasia or a hypoplasia of the clavicle, which it shows in one part of the series where he can like almost make his shoulders touch in the front.
Oh, weird. Oh,
yeah, so
he'll be a child actor for a while, huh?
Yeah, I mean, but he does so well because
he's so
funny, yeah. And then you have Lucas Sinclair, played by Caleb McLaughlin, who is the more bold and outspoken and I guess he goes his own way kind of guy. So you've got these four friends, and of course you've got Will Trier. Mike Wheeler. I mean, Will Byers. Will Byers. You don't see a whole lot of in the movie or in the show.
yeah, really.
Just in that first episode. And so, on their way home from Mike Wheeler's house one night after playing Dungeons and Dragons, it was a short campaign. Like you said, it was only 10 hours long. So they go home and. Young Will Byers disappears that night, and we find out it was due to something stalking him in the woods, and we never see what it is. It scares him so bad, he runs home, he thinks he's made it in, and just all these crazy things start happening in his house, and he knows it's in the house with him, so he runs out to the shed, he loads a rifle that they keep out there, and to no avail, the rifle lands on the floor, and he is gone. So... we are greeted by his mother, Joyce Byers, who's played by none other than Winona Ryder. And I'm telling you what, as a playing the frazzled mother, single mother of two boys, Will and Jonathan. Jonathan is the teenager of the two. She did such an amazing job in this series because I remember receiving a text message from Adam. Saying, "Oh my gosh, Winona Ryder is really he's like the exact text message said, "Excuse me, Winona, you're crazy as showing."
No, man. Let me tell you though. Like I said in the beginning, I'm not a fan of Winona Ryder to begin with. But oh my gosh, she knocked us out of the park. I mean, this was a home run for Winona Ryder. I mean, she even like she did her hair like the frazzled look, like a mom that hasn't showered in like a week. The house they live in is not. I mean, they're not rich. They're kind of a lower class house. She makes do with what she does, but I mean you really get that sense of all my friends from the 80s. You know what I mean? Like that house, like all my friends in the 80s lived in a house like that. So not only did she knock that out of the park, it brought back memories of me reliving like 1987. Actually, this took place in 83, but you get the point.
Well, somewhere
it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
I don't think it does it. Was it specific in the year?
Yeah, the very first episode says Hawkins, Indiana, November of 1983.
Okay, yeah, I remember that now.
I want to say one thing about that, though. I mean, do they actually... I mean, I've noticed this with a lot of movies, a lot of scary movies. They place a lot of scary movies, it seems like, in Midwest.
Well, if you look at it, if you look at the Midwest, though, there are no mountains. There's a lot of trees. There's nowhere really to run other than into the forest, you know, where things are a little creepier.
Mostly you had, like, Super 8 was even filmed.
Yeah.
Like, in Indiana,
too.
It was in Indiana also, I believe.
There's not a whole lot of places to run. So, I mean, you know, to get away from things. And let's be honest, the only horror movie that I can name that was ever based in, like, West Virginia was Wrong Turn, and they got everything absolutely incredibly wrong.
And then Freddy Krueger was in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I mean...
So, and what Justin is saying is don't move to the Midwest, you may die. And you're in the Midwest, run.
Or Maine. Do not live in Maine.
Maine.
You can live in Oregon, though, because Oregon has pirates and cool treasure and stuff like that.
Yeah, but Maine is pretty much all Stephen King creatures.
Yeah. Hey, little boy.
We should make like an 80s horror / sci-fi map and put it out there for the United States. That'd be pretty cool.
That's a cool idea.
We just got a tweet from that guy, Dave G-Pie.
Hey, I've heard of that guy.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, that guy, Dave G-Pie. David Gillespie. He's a wonderful guy. He's a good friend of mine and Adam's. And he actually says Outcast on Showtime is set in West Virginia. And I had forgotten about that. I don't have Showtime at this moment, but that is one show that I really, really want. I mean, if you want to, I believe it's still up. The first episode is on YouTube. Outcast is a comic that was written by Robert Kirkman of Walking Dead fame and Invincible fame. Mm-hmm. And it is out there, but it is really good. And the first episode of Outcast was actually really, really, really well done. So I'm really excited to see that. But I think the main draw for me into this movie that really what pulled me so far into it that I couldn't wait to do the all 8 episodes was that the relationship between these boys, between these friends, was exactly like the one I had with my friends back in the day. They liked the same things that I liked. You know, Star Wars, comic books, Dungeons and Dragons. They had the same kind of rapport with each other as my friends did then, as I and my friends did then, and still do now. You know, I can be brutally honest. We can yell at each other, and then we're still friends. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, shoot, Jesse punched me in the face one time, and I'm still friends with him.
I punched you in the face?
I'm kidding.
Oh.
I thought you were going to go with it. Now
I was going to be like, this happened like last week? What's going on? What happened?
We were at the Comic-Con, and he tried to get the Spider-Man 129.
The 129.
I smacked him in the face.
And I got it for a good deal. And no.
I don't remember doing that, but
no, you didn't. But I thought you were going to go with it, and I just...
Hey, like that's all right. That's all right.
Which Spider-Man 129 brings up Jesse's nemesis.
Yep. I'll punch a dude in the face. I ain't scared of doing it for 129.
So, but now, did you all have like groups of friends like this when you were younger? We'll start with Justin.
Oh yeah, I mean, we all had that whole Nintendo thing going back when I was, you know. We always, you know, go always get together for birthdays and just weekends and just stay up all night playing Nintendo, drinking our Mountain Dew, and sometimes, you know, even Ninja Turtles, you know, Ninja Turtles stuff would be involved, and I mean, just all kinds of 80s stuff, really.
Now, Jesse, we know that you had some Dungeons and Dragons experience in your later years, but did you have a group of guys that you hung out with?
What age were these kids again? Like 10, 11?
10, 11, yeah.
10 years old, 88. Man, I don't know. I think right about around that time, I don't know if you know, things were different back then. You know, your parents tend to leave you home by yourself a little bit more than what they do nowadays. And we didn't live in the city, so I didn't have anything really to worry about. My parents weren't too concerned about somebody coming into the house and killing us or anything like that. But anyway, hanging out of my house on my own, I used to go walking in the woods by myself. Now, I rarely had friends from around the neighborhood that I hung out a lot with. Right. So I'm not trying to get you guys to feel sorry for me or anything, but that's just the way it was, you know?
Then he was lip syncing when he was laying. I saw the videos.
Justin's watched too many home videos of my failings and lip syncing to Pour Some Sugar on Me or some kind of crap like that.
But oh, it was Money for Nothing.
There you go. Yes, Money for Nothing. But I used, the stuff that these kids did in this film or in this series is crap that I like imagined back then. When I would walk through the woods, like, all right, we're going to go through a portal, and I'd have my dog with me. You know, it was just, you know, fun pretend stuff when I was 10 years old, and I'll never forget it because those woods aren't too far from me to this day, and I would love to go back. But boy, would it look strange! Some fat guy walking through the woods. In the middle of Sunday afternoon.
Talk about walking through portals and stuff.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
We're going to read in the news that Jesse was arrested for talking to himself about taking on dragons and portals. And
I can't believe that whenever I was little, we would actually go in the woods with like machetes and stuff.
Oh. It was such a different age back then. We're talking like 30 years ago, so I mean
it was awesome though, man.
It was
doing the same thing. Like, so, who mentioned the machete? Someone said bring a machete out in the middle of the woods. We used to do the same thing. We used to go down in the woods back up behind my parents' house. Mm-hmm. We used to take machetes and we used to chop down the trees with machetes, and they were like little trees. They were like 6 inches wide, and we'd sit there and we'd just hack at it for like 2.5 hours, you know, and you'd be like the one kid. I remember one time there was a group of us. There was a group of like maybe 5 or 6 of us that went up there and did it, and all of us weren't together at this time. But we were just taking turns hacking at it, went left and right, left and right. And all of a sudden, this thing's getting ready to fall down. You know, it's like you can see like maybe an inch on both, you know, of just the trees standing up, maybe an inch left. And one of our friends comes in behind of us and jump kicks the tree, and it falls over. And we thought that was the coolest thing in the entire world because we didn't know he was behind us. He just kind of snuck up on us and came up and jump kicked the tree, and it came down. He just lands on it, and we all just kind of stand there like,
yes!
This is the greatest thing that's ever happened. I mean, you know, little things like that, you know, but I mean, couldn't do that today. You know, you'll be arrested for...
How great would it have been back then to have the ease of being able to film crap like that?
Oh.
Man, we would... I'd be arrested, man. There's so much stuff that we did that would have ended up on YouTube, and just crazy crap.
There's so much stuff I'm glad it won't end up on YouTube. Yeah, really.
Now, I'm right with you guys. Like I said, what drew me into this and what had me so engulfed in this was just the nostalgic thought of being able to jump on your bike, go down the road, do what you wanted to do, you know, go play or whatever, and come home when the street lights are on or whenever mom and dad called for you or whoever. And just like you guys have said, you know, if nobody was around, I'd go off by myself.
And were you guys Ronnie, were you out in the country or were you a city kid?
I was in a holler. Between two mountains.
All right. Now, Justin, I think I know you grew up on the outskirts of Marietta, so I know you were a country boy. How about you, Adam? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I lived in town, actually in town, but I always went to my friend's house in the country.
I got you. All right, go ahead, Adam. Sorry.
I actually grew up in a little tiny town between Huntington and Charleston, West Virginia, called Taze Valley. Well, it's not tiny now, but back then, you know, we only had like one little grocery store, and there's probably 8,000 people in the whole town growing up. But now it's like boom. But where my parents lived, it was the only neighborhood within like 4 miles either direction. So it was all woods behind that. Since then, it's been developed, and you can't actually go, like, none of the woods are even there anymore. But one of the cool things where I grew up, there was this old cabin, and I think it was from like the old like I think it was like 1920s, actually, maybe 1930s. But we used to pretend it was like from the 1800s and the Civil War and stuff because it had a big potbelly stove in it.
Oh, wow.
And
you kids like, trespassed, apparently.
Yeah, well, we don't know who, like, I have no idea who owned this thing, but it was way back in the woods. Like, there were natural gas wells that we had to like dodge. Like, we take four wheelers and dirt bikes up there, or before we could do that, we had to walk. You know, back when people actually walked and put one foot in front of the other. Weirdest thing ever, right?
It's the boss man's cabin.
yeah, but we used to go up there and we used to, you know, we play army and all kinds of weird stuff. But then I guess some older kids got a hold of it and mattresses showed up and we were like, yep, peace out, we're done.
So we have these kids and like I said, nostalgia kicks in of going out, you know, hanging out with your buddies and doing whatever and I was sitting there thinking when I was watching this, these boys are out at night in the rain and stuff like that looking for their friend, and their parents don't have a clue. But I was like, but it's such a different time back then.
Yeah.
They didn't really worry, you know, about the things that we worry about now. So this brings us into a young lady that they find and they befriend, Eleven, or Elle, and who is played by Millie Bobby Brown. This girl is probably the best actor out of the lot, even the seasoned veterans like Winona Ryder and David Harbour and Matthew Modine. Because with her limited lines in the show and even
dialogue,
her limited dialogue and the character's limited vocabulary, the facial expressions that this young lady portrays in this series and just how she reacts to things and reacts to Mike and who she has a stronger bond with than she does Lucas and Dustin. She just blew me out of the water with how well she did. Did anybody else notice this about her?
I think she had that fire starter kind of feel to her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, good call. I didn't even think about that.
Like the, you know, Drew Barrymore with the telekinesis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we find out that she has psychokinetic abilities like telekinesis. That's the only one that she really portrays in this. And then for a great amount of the series. And then we find out she can travel and speak to the people in a different dimension, which we'll get into here in a minute. The way she was introduced, she escapes from this government facility and she runs. And she runs into this man at a diner. And immediately she has her head shaved and she's wearing, hospital gown and all that. And she's trying to steal some food. And the owner of the diner catches her. He says, hey, you know, what are you doing over there, boy? Quit. You know, what are you doing? And he thinks she's a young boy, but he looks at her and realizes that she's a young girl. And immediately he's like, ooh, something ain't right. So he befriends her. He becomes nice and he gives her food. He tries to talk to her, tries to figure out where she's from. Jesse, what happens after he
knows all this out? What else do you think is going to happen? She escaped from a government facility and they're on their way to try and find her. Let's just say our dear diner friend, who's a big dude, meets an unfortunate fate.
He's the big show.
He's a big guy. Yeah. He's a big fella. And, you know, you feel sorry for the guy because he realizes that she's, she's either been abused or she's lost or whatever, and he takes her in and then calls CPS, and well, guess what? CPS is not who they seem to be. And he proceeds to get a bullet to the brain. Luckily, though, I believe she escapes.
She does.
Yeah,
she,
but
she
who puts the bullet in his head? That's really important.
Who was it? It was the girl, the lady that's...
Woman. Yeah.
It was a woman. It was the woman. Right.
It was a cover-up.
Right. Exactly. And that's really important because it's like she escapes from a government facility and all of a sudden this woman shows up. He's like, oh, I'm from social services. And he's like,
yeah.
He's like, I didn't expect you this soon. She's like, yeah, well, we like to get these things taken care of. He turns his back, and bam! It's just like, holy crap.
Whoops. Yeah. So awesome. It takes you by surprise for sure. She's just a little old lady. You know, there looks like a nice lady who's there for the welfare of the kid, and that is not the case.
She pulls out a Glock with a silencer and just drill. Well, I don't know if it's a Glock, but she pulls out a pistol with a silencer and just drills him in the head. And I was like, I really like that character. I really like that guy because he was so nice and he was, you know, trying to help her. And that at that moment was the moment. It was the exact moment in this series that I became very audible. And scared everyone around me, I think, because I yelled. I was like, no,
oh, gosh.
No, you know, it was like, that's just not right. And because it takes a lot for me to, not a lot, I mean, I enjoy whatever I watch, you know, but for me to become so caught up in it that I'm talking to the screen, I have to be really engrossed in it. So this show, and we sound like we're just doing nothing but singing the praises of the show, but there's really not much else to do.
Yeah, there's nothing bad. Like, I'm not gonna say there's nothing bad about it, but there's nothing bad about it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I will say that there was one part that I wish they would have done. Like I was watching it, and this tells you how they really screw with your 80s mindset. They get you drawn into this, and you're just like, oh yeah. It's the part where they're all riding on bikes and they have 11 on the back of it.
Yeah.
Oh, straight up ET.
Yeah.
I mean,
these government, I'm not going to say government workers, but these government hitmen. Can you hear me now? Did I drop out?
Yeah, you're good. Keep going.
Okay. So what I was saying was they're riding their bikes from these government agents, and they're just driving through the neighborhood, and it's a chase scene, and they're all kind of converging on the kids, you know. Then and you know, there's like two of them behind, one comes from the front, and then all of a sudden it comes front, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, oh my gosh, 11 is gonna pick them up, and they're gonna fly.
You're
on
just
their
waiting
bikes.
For it. This is gonna be so waiting
for it to happen.
And then all of a sudden, she slams down with her telekinesis or whatever, and the front of that van slams into the concrete and does a flip over those kids. And I stood up and I was like, yes, you know. And I was like, I mean, it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, it took something from the 80s and made it so much better. And that's the only thing I can say about this show, is that it takes everything that's awesome, like all these kid adventure movies that nobody makes anymore, and they should. They should absolutely make kid adventure movies. But nobody makes these anymore. They took everything good from these movies, like Goonies and Stand By Me and E.T.
Toy Soldiers.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, so it's like they took everything great from these movies and they intensified it and made it so much better. And that's all I can – that's the best thing I can say about that show is it makes everything awesome and makes it so much better.
It's very genuine in the fact that it feels 80s, because they really don't hit you over the head with so much cheesy nostalgia. You know, there's homages, but they're not like so overt.
They're subtle.
Yes, exactly. They're not so overt in your face. It's very subtle, and it's because this had the potential to be like, you know, absolute cheese factor 10.0 if they wanted to drill the 80s into the ground, and they didn't do that. They took something, the underlying theme of it, and then built upon that, and that's what I think made it. It made it a hit, because it had that feel, and it had those genuine, I don't know, those genuine like 80s interactions, the genuine 80s settings. It felt like just kind of stuff that I can remember watching the lady dial on the phone going, you know, she doesn't have a cordless or anything like that. She's actually having to sit there. I don't know if she had a rotary
phone.
Yeah. You know, and that wasn't like something that really was just – that's ridiculous of how I picked that out, because I was like, oh, that's so 80s. But it kind of – again, it added to the feel of the story.
The whole thing's like that. I mean, think about it. You know, like she went and got the new phone. The phone was in a box that's from the 80s.
I remember him giving the price.
Yeah. And like – And when 11 goes into that store and she takes the Eggos, the boxes are like 1980s Aunt Jemima pancakes. I remember these things, you know, and you sit and you watch it, but the whole time you're watching this, I'm not watching this and saying something like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah, that was a great commercial, you know. The whole time I'm thinking, what's going to happen next? It's not distracting, you know what I mean?
There you go.
Like you can look at it, you know, it's like watching The Goonies, and you know The Goonies was made in the 1980s. So everything in that movie that's 80s pop culture is completely ignored because you're watching it because you know it's from the 80s. Same thing happens with this show. You know it's from the 80s, but it was made like last year. I love it.
We're talking about everything, you know, that we noticed from the 80s. So I probably should have prepared you a little better for this, but here we go.
here we go.
I'm going to ask each one of you, and we're going to take a turn, and briefly describe maybe one or two events that you saw that were maybe an homage, as you will, you know, where they kind of mirrored another director or another event, movie, whatever, from the 80s, and it really puts you in mind of that. So, Justin, I know you probably got one right on the top of your head, so I'm going to go with you.
I'm going to go with Poltergeist.
There we go.
Basically, the child is missing, just like in Poltergeist, and the mother is actually communicating with the child through an electrical device.
Yeah.
Just like in Poltergeist.
That's true.
And, I mean, literally, it's, you know, the kid's in a realm that she can't reach, just like in Poltergeist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole thing just reminds me of it.
That's a good one. And right. You don't know that, you know, one of the big things about this show is that you don't know if this kid's dead.
Right.
You don't
right.
know if this kid is actually alive. You know, you have no idea. So that's a great comparative example there.
Jesse, go.
Okay. Man, the easy one right off the top is going to be E.T. and the bike thing. We've already talked about that. That's really easy to pick that one from. When we talk about kids' movies, man, you could name off so many great kids' movies that – or kid adventure movies that it really mirrors. I will – you know, I'm going to have to stick with man, I'll have to stick with my ET example and make somebody else work for it because, okay. because that is easily one of the biggest things that I got from this movie was its
sure.
what was its you know, the kids, they have something that is, you know, not you don't know if it's from this earth, you don't know what exactly it is, and they're trying to protect it, and that's their goal throughout the whole thing is to try and kind of make sure that this kid doesn't get caught after they figure out what's going on.
I could easily throw another one in there just by using a word that Jesse's been repeatedly using.
Uh-oh. What is it?
In his conversation here, his
Hold on. Let's see if whoever's next, which I imagine by process of elimination is going to be Adam. Let's see if he guesses.
Adam, what's yours?
So I actually have a couple of them. The first one is the music. The music to this whole thing was written by, I can't remember the name of the group, but the music fits, and it's perfectly 80s. You know, but then again, they have references from like the Clash is in there. That's like a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
That they do in there. So the music for me, I'm a big music nerd anyway, you know, so that really made it that much more enjoyable. But the other big one for me was the reference to aliens, like when they had their contamination suits on and they're inside the Upside Down. I mean, that's straight out of Aliens when they're dropped into the alien hive, and they're kind of walking around in there. You know, that's to me, that was like, I watched and I said, oh my gosh, because at first I was thinking it was The Abyss, but I was like, no, it's got to be something else. So I started going back through, like went straight to the internet, and everybody's like, you know, here's every single 80s movie reference in Stranger Things, and you look at it like, ah, yeah.
I'll have to look at that list.
Yeah, there's tons of them, man.
Let me step in there again with one of the other E.T. references. Remember when they bring 11, that kid brings 11 back to the house, and he's like he's going through his room, like showing 11 his room?
Yes.
I'm like, is an, this is straight out
That's
of E.T.
My room. That was my room.
Yeah, the baseball trophy. Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. Yoda voice.
Lando Calrissian. She's Lando Calrissian.
Yeah. I'm going to give you my two examples.
Two? Come on, Ron.
Well, they're going to be quick. They're going to be quick, maybe. I can do what I want.
Two's going to take the rest of the time.
Shut up. But the first one is, of course, it's a little darker than this movie Stranger Things is, but I'm going to go with the Goonies.
Okay. Yeah.
Goonies because
is it Barb?
No. These four young boys are sort of the social outcasts because of their because of their likes. They're nerds. And people, back then it wasn't an easy life if you were a nerd.
It's not like it is now where it's like everybody wants to be a nerd. I'm like, you don't know what it's like.
I can see that. I was gonna say I can see a likeness between Dustin and Chunk, the attitude.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I just want to look at people like Adam said. You haven't lived it. You merely embrace the nerdiness. I was born into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway,
as we quote a 2000s movie. Yeah.
But
the thing is, like another thing. The reason I said like I'm serious when I said it was Barb because the girl that plays Barb in that movie looks just like oh gosh, what's her name from the Goonies?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's the glasses, man.
From the Goonies. Looks just like her. I mean, the big glasses, the short hair, just kind of that other girl,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a lot of likeness between Chunk and Dustin. One of the things that makes me like that kid so much, Dustin, is because they bring Elle back, and she's soaking wet because she's in the rain, and they bring her some clothes, some dry clothes, and they're like, hey, these are these are clean and they're dry, so go ahead and put them on. And, she rubs them against her face like she's never felt, laundered clothes before. And so he's like, go ahead, put them on. And she stands up and starts to take her shirt off. And they're like, no.
And they all freak out.
Go to the bathroom.
Yeah,
they're like, they're turning their back and freaking out. And they were talking to each other. And he was like, Dustin was like, did you see her? Did you see she went like this? And went to, like he was taking his shirt off and knocked his hat off. And you could tell that moment was not scripted. They knocked his hat off, but it was like I used to do stuff like that all the time. I would try to do something and
goof it up
immediately. And the other correlation that I really picked up on, in my opinion, and it's not really an 80s. I can't remember what year it was released. I can't remember if it was early 90s or 80s. So I'm buying time so I can look at that. But it.
You come it up with it. I'll look for it.
1990. I found it that quick, but
internet,
Google machine, but it was 1990, so it was close, but it was it.
Oh, you just gave you the one I was going.
That's
to.
A good one.
The word that he's been repeatedly using.
Shut
up.
But Stephen King's it.
The slingshot.
Yeah, the slingshot, all the kids that are dealing with things.
It's not a slingshot, guys. It's not a slingshot. It's a wrist cannon. The wrist rocket, that's what it is.
Uh-huh, you messed it up. But you've got this group of kids that has to deal with this otherworldly evil, and they're the only ones that really understand or, that are brave enough to do it, and it follows them into adulthood, but... that doesn't really happen in Stranger Things, but the adults and the kids are both dealing with something that is much, much stronger than them.
Well, Ronnie, there is a sequel. Could be adulthood.
Oh, the Stranger Things? Yeah, they're coming out with a season two. So I think they're picking right up where they left off, though.
Well, from what I understand, all the stuff that I've read is that they didn't expect to have to do a season two. This was going to be a one-and-done thing, but everybody's just going completely nuts over it. They're like, okay, well, it's a no-brainer. We have to do two. So now they're like, okay, so what are we going to do? You know, and from what I've read is that they're going to do multiple seasons. They're going to do a season two, but they're going to kind of pick up where they left off, but they're going to also introduce – other characters, because the very end, Nancy and what's her boyfriend's name? The guy with the James Spader hair. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. James Spader hair.
I can't remember. His name. Anyway,
they weren't James. It's Steve Arrington. Steve, yeah. Nancy's boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the very end, they weren't supposed to get together. They were supposed to kind of, I guess, go away. But at the very end, how cool though was that? Like Steve gets a conscience like the last episode. Yeah. How freaking awesome is that?
You know
that?
What they do? They make it feel like you're going to predict what's going to happen because this is you've seen these movies a thousand times. You know what's going to happen with this guy. This is the 80s jerk wad that's going to give her a hard time, and he'll get his comeuppance at the end, and we'll be done with that. That's not the case. I mean, he sort of does, but just like you said, he grows a conscience, and then he becomes part of he steps into it. I can't remember the character's name, but they decide to go after the thing from the upside down, and he accidentally, gets in the middle of that. I did not see that coming.
I didn't either.
I loved that part of this. I was like, oh man, this guy has no idea what he's about to get into.
He runs into the middle of the thing. They're like, you gotta go now.
Yeah, get out of here.
Like, why? Why? And all of a sudden, the I want to say, is it the Demogorgon? Is that what they call it?
Demogorgon, I believe.
Demogorgon.
Yeah.
Anyway, they he kind of runs in, and all of a sudden he becomes like part of it, and you're like, "Yep, dude, you're neck deep. you're in it, man."
I'll tell you, that
we got that, another. I don't mean to interrupt you, Justin, but we got a tweet from that guy, Dave G-Pie, and he says Steve grows up to be Gene Ralphio on Parks and Recreation.
Nice.
And the picture he put
looks just like him. He does, seriously.
Just like him.
But Justin, that guy's such a dillwad off that show too.
Oh man. Justin, what were you saying?
I was gonna say just from the beginning of the movie though, that what's his name? Will's older brother.
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon,
because that's who he looks like. But he looks like Evil Ed from. Do y'all know who I'm talking about? Evil Ed.
From
Fright Night.
Yeah.
He looks like Kevin Bacon and Evil Ed had a kid.
But I swear to, he gives off this American Beauty vibe in the beginning of the movie where he's taking the picture.
Well, no,
the whole time.
He looks like Leonardo DiCaprio in What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
All right, let's be nice.
No, I'm serious, though. I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio is a great actor.
What was the name of the movie with Kevin Bacon and the whitewater rafting? You guys remember that?
Whitewater Summer.
Whitewater Summer?
Yeah. Wow. That was quick.
Do you guys remember that movie at all?
That had Sean Astin in it.
Yes, it had Sean Astin in it, where the kids go on and it turns out like Kevin Bacon's like some crazy dude, right?
Vic.
Yeah, he's like some kind of jerk, and you guys.
Dude, did you watch this like 2 days ago?
No, I've seen it so many times. It ain't funny.
that's insane.
That's awesome.
That's why
I want to watch that movie.
Speaking of 80s, you guys never seen it? Speaking of kids' movies and Kevin Bacon, I remember that one pretty clearly. Well, enough to not remember its title.
Footloose.
Yes, there it is. That's the one. I got it confused.
That one I have seen.
It was Friday 13th.
Oh, I remember that whitewater rafting part in there. Kevin Bacon did not last very long in that one.
I liked it when they had the two whitewater rafts on the either side of the river, and they raced them at each other. And then they dance because the Sorry.
I'm just sitting here trying to think of a river that would actually allow you to do that, and here I am.
Yeah, really, it runs in both directions at the same time.
It's amazing.
I was talking about the chicken scene from Footloose. Oh, Lord. All right, so we just we got a beep, and I don't know what that was.
That was a beep. I think that was that's Justin sending text.
That was okay, me. Good. All right. I didn't know what that was.
We're using up our minutes.
Yeah. Who's on the not unlimited plan now? But gosh, we have completely gone off the rails.
I do want to say also the creature looked like Slender Man. I swear it did.
No, to me it looked like the plant from what's that movie with Little Shop of Horrors with Rick Moranis?
Audrey.
Oh, the name
of
the plant.
Audrey 2.
I'm just saying from the beginning though, when it just had like the long arms and
was terrifying.
But then when it was in the wall, when the stuff was coming out of the wall, it reminded me of The Frighteners.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a great movie too. But we have so many good things to say about this show that it's ridiculous. I mean, if you have not seen this, we ask that you just go ahead and binge watch the crap out of the show.
And we probably ruined it for them already if they haven't
seen
it.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Especially if you're
about an hour too late.
Especially if you smell Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Oh, that was actually really awesome. That was really cool.
The thing about it is, the parts that we've talked about and the things that we've liked about it, and we haven't even gotten into the direction, the cinematography, the writing, and things like that, which were all top notch and amazingly done. All the things, you know, it was. What I wanted to do with this was bring you all in and just talk the nostalgia part of it, which we've done all night, this whole show. Because it references the pop culture that we were raised on, that we were grown up, and that we've that has formulated and formed who we are. And that's what we really like about it. And that's what, I mean, I speak for myself. I don't know about you guys, but this show brings back so many memories, and if you weren't raised in the 80s or if you don't know much about the 80s, that's okay, because you get to look into who we were as kids and what we were raised on and things like that. And if you're not interested in that, it doesn't matter, because this is just an excellent, excellent show. Does anybody have anything to add to that?
How old were you guys in 1983? Each one of you.
Five years old.
I was three.
Adam?
Ask that question again, because I had to get my headphones. I had to switch out headphones. What was the question?
How old were you in 1983?
I was zero, because I was born in 1983.
Wow, zero.
Man. Well, November of 83, I was negative. I guess I was negative one, because I was born on December 25th, 1983. So,
yeah.
All this stuff had just happened. Yeah.
Ronnie, were you going to ask any more questions or anything?
We got one more tweet from David Gillespie.
Ronnie never gave his age out.
I did. I said it was five.
He's five.
I was going to say, Just said he was five.
David Gillespie said he was 13, rocking a mullet and a bad stash.
Pixra didn't happen.
Yeah,
Pixra,
whatever, happen. Man. Come on. Mullet and a bad stash?
Yeah, well, I mean, as dapper as Mr. David is, I hardly doubt he ever had a bad-looking mullet.
Nice. Yeah, that's the thing. It wasn't a bad-looking mullet. It was, like, suave.
Yeah, or a bad mustache.
It was like Hacker Man from
Kung Fury. Nice.
I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry.
Jesse, did you have something you wanted to ask
Yeah, let's do this. Okay. Let's start with Justin here.
Let's do this.
let's do it. You got a favorite? We'll go around the table. We'll go Justin, Adam, Ronnie. and then I guess I'll pop in here. I don't know, okay. Since I asked a question at the end. Justin, who was your favorite character?
I would have to say L.
Okay. All right. You wanna elaborate as to why?
I just think she was a very interesting character, just the way she kept growing through the series. I mean, she started out just mute, barely said a thing, and then just the way she just, I mean, just more and more happened through the series, and she just kept getting stronger and stronger and braver, and just very, it just impressed me, really.
Mm-hmm.
See her just growing.
Cool.
All right. How about you, Adam? Favorite character?
My favorite character was Mike, because he reminded me a lot of myself. You know, he kind of was that headstrong, curious kid who didn't really, he really didn't take no for an answer, and he always kind of pushed forward, and he always kind of looked for the good in people. You know, when the other two kids, when they were like, she can't be trusted, she's lying, she's Lando Calrissian, you know, when they kind of pulled that out. I mean, if you're a true nerd, being called Lando Calrissian is like the lowest of low. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
To a point, yeah.
Mike had that Elliot feel to him, though, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He did. You know, so I would have to say that Mike is probably my favorite character of all of them. And then Hopper. I thought Hopper was cool. I mean, he was just Indiana Jones cool, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. How about you, Ronnie?
It would have to fluctuate between Dustin and L. Mainly because I can relate a lot to Dustin's characters when I was a kid, not because I had the same condition or anything, but just, you know, he's a good kid, but he gets picked on a lot. And L, mainly because the character was so fascinating, just like Justin said, to watch her grow and portray her emotions and feelings and everything basically just through facial expressions. It was a lot of fun to watch that young actress do her thing, and it was incredible.
Cool. I'd have to go with Hopper. I think Hopper being the, you know, the small town sheriff who all of a sudden, again, you're prepared for these 80s stereotypes, and you're just thinking, okay, I know how this is going to go. This guy's not going to listen to anybody. He's going to be a jerk sheriff, and he's not going to I wasn't going to be pleased with Hopper at first. I didn't like him. And then all of a sudden, he gets thrown into a world of crap that he has no idea what's going on, specifically when he infiltrates the government base on his own and then finds the alien pods, gets knocked out, wakes up in his trailer, which, by the way, coming out of this series, there are a lot of questions that I still have.
Yeah.
Number one, let me finish my initial thought. Hopper waking up in his trailer, and his trailer's all trashed, and all of a sudden he becomes this like paranoid, and he, you know, he looks like this paranoid, this guy who's just gone off the rails. But now all of a sudden he's believing what Winona Ryder's character is saying. Hey, you know, this is something's crazy, and now he's believing it, and he becomes part of the mission, which is just so great. I love that part. And he became one of my favorite characters. But at the end, there were a lot. When you finish the season, you don't get all the answers, because I at least maybe you guys can clue me in. Can we do? Can I ask a real quick question? If you guys want to step in, if you guys have read something about it, at the end when he's putting stuff in the box.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the very, 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 very
the
end?
The very end, when Hopper gets picked up by the... Okay, I think he leaves, the hospital, or I can't remember what it's called. I think he leaves the hospital. And he gets into the car, which I thought he was, you know... I don't want to spoil that part. But he goes and...
Why not? We spoiled everything else.
He gets in the car, I think, and the guy's going to die. I'm like, I thought he switched his life, but he doesn't die. So there's a part where he goes to the woods and he drops off Eggos. Yep. Drops some of them Eggos in this box.
Yeah.
Why? What is going on there? You guys have any theories?
No. Well, I kind of have a theory. I think that at the very end when L, and this is a major spoiler, so if you haven't seen it, just go ahead and stop now.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that they've had a chance to turn it off, when L actually destroys the, you say the Demogorgon?
Yeah.
the Demogorgon, when she destroys it, you know, I think what happened is she banishes it to the Upside Down, and she goes with it. You know what I mean? She kind of they're probably going to come up with this one-to-one thing where it's like if you take one bad character, you got to have a good character to go with it. You know how those old 80s things are. But hey, you know, they've ruined everything else when it comes down to anything 80s references. But anyway, I think that because it's out in the woods and that's where these, you know, the portals where you saw Nancy and Will's older brother's name? I know Jonathan. We said it before. Not him. Yeah, Jonathan. They're out in the woods, and she crawls into this thing. She crawls into this little like portal, you know, it's straight from the poltergeist. You know, she kind of crawls in, and she's in there with this monster. You know, so my thing is, she's able to come back and forth between that
dimension. Upside down.
That dimension, I definitely think that he came back with more knowledge of the Upside Down and what's going on. And, and L is going to be – he knows L's out there. And he knows that – I think he's – a lot of people think that he's leaving a tribute to her.
Okay. Okay.
Is he leaving Reese pieces?
that's exactly what I was going to say.
It's more like Mac and Me. He's leaving Skittles.
I can't think of anything but that one.
Cue the McDonald's
that
dancing.
Paul Rudd.
We were all talking at once, and then we all got quiet at once. It was
awkward.
I was just gonna say I can't think of Mac and Me without thinking of the video clip Paul Rudd takes to Conan O'Brien every time. He goes in the show.
But I think he has more knowledge of what's going on, so I think he's leaving her food, you know, to draw her back to us.
Yeah, it definitely leaves you with the sense that she's not dead or there's something else going on. Maybe 12 shows up and they like egos too.
Number 9. No. Let me ask
I am
you
number
this.
4.
Anyway,
wrong movie.
So let me ask you this: so you have these characters, and what are they in there? I think Elle's been there, or she goes in there in the very end. But Will's been there, Nancy, and did Steve go in there? Did he get in there? I can't remember if he'd been there. But you're looking at Will and Nancy; they were in there. But Hopper and Will's mom. They go in, but they had those suits on. So my question is, at the very, very end, when Will is in the bathroom and he pukes up that slug.
Oh, yeah, see, there's another thing. You're just like, what's going on here?
Right. So my question is being exposed, like if you're in the Upside Down, does a part of it come back with you? Are you able to go back and forth? Does it matter if you've been exposed to it? Is breathing the air? Because I mean, if you look at it that way, Nancy then has a connection to it, and she's gonna start seeing some crazy crap.
He had that tube thing down his throat, so like he was incubating something in him.
David Gillespie. Mentioned this again, and he said the government dudes take Hopper away at one point, and maybe he's the new caretaker.
Okay.
And then he also vibes the Upside Down.
He vibes it. That's a great Flash reference, by the way. But anyway, so what he's saying is, so when did he vibe the Upside Down? That's a weird sentence.
Who, Hopper?
Yeah.
The only thing I could.
He had a flash.
I don't remember. I don't recall. Now he might.
Oh, got to watch the whole series over again.
I already started that again.
I just start with the last episode. I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, me too. I've already watched it twice.
We're jumping around a lot, people that are listening, and we apologize about, you know, we don't want to.
Any newcomers.
As much as the plot that we have talked about, we don't want to give away the whole plot because for as much as we've talked about, there's so much more that we haven't. That'll seem, even if we've talked about it, it'll all seem fresh and new and everything because this show is that good. we have maybe have spoiled a few things if you haven't seen it, if you're still with us, if you haven't seen it. This, honestly, I don't think that's going to take away from anything. There's a lot of things that we haven't talked about, but these are the things that stood out to us and made this so enjoyable to us. I just want to put that disclaimer in there.
Absolutely. And we should have maybe done that at the beginning, but that's all right.
Yeah,
right.
You know what? This is our first live show.
The beauty of editing. How many people are editing this, pal?
We're live, man.
We're live, pal. How many viewers do we have? Dave's obviously tuning in. Who else? Anybody else down there?
No. I don't know. Nice. I don't know.
I don't think we got to worry about spoiling anything, man.
Dave needs a shirt. He needs to get a t-shirt just for watching our first line work.
Will in the bathroom. He vibes. Yeah, sorry. Not Hopper. I'm sorry. I misunderstood him. Yeah, it was Will.
That whole mm-hmm. bathroom scene with Will, that was like Poltergeist as well. Remember?
With the
worm.
Slither. Yeah.
Gosh, call me.
Yeah. Well, guys, let's do this. Give me one takeaway from this show. If you could tell somebody, if somebody looked at you and said, "Why should I watch this?" You know, what is the one sentence that you could tell me, who has never seen it, or tell them who's never seen it, that would talk them into watching this.
Okay.
Justin, go.
Oh man, me first.
Jesse, go.
The good thing about me going first is you guys can't just say repeat. All right, you guys can't repeat what I. Okay. Exactly. So, all right, if you enjoy sci-fi and thriller and horror, this does a great job of bringing those elements together in a season that feels very complete. I honestly, if they do a season two, I'm really going to be surprised if it's anywhere near as good as season one. Mm. But we know the track record of some Netflix films. I don't know much of a track record about these Duffer Brothers guys, but you know, the pressure's on because they had a hit on their hands here. How many networks did they have? I mean, that they shopped this around? I think they shopped it around on like 20 networks.
Yeah.
They shopped it around on 20 networks and nobody picked it up. That's the dumbest decision anybody but Netflix made. I'm serious. I mean, look at it, you know. I mean, it's a phenomenon, you know.
It's like
Game of Thrones. I mean, where the heck did that come from? Everybody's now reading George R. R. Martin books,
yeah, they are.
Game of Thrones,
yeah.
You know, and it's people I would have never thought. You know, same thing with this one. Yeah, people are idiots sometimes.
tell us what you really think.
What's good about this though is that you can binge this, and mm-hmm. I don't know if something like that could survive on an actual network.
No,
wait. But they did a great job of making you at the end of each episode hungry for more, which is very important for any type of TV series to live on. So anyway, mm-hmm. if you're a fan of those three elements and you enjoy the that feel back when you were watching stuff in the 80s, give it a shot. I'd say first two episodes, you're not hooked, then go get
it. Be wrong.
Make sure that you have your pulse checked, and then I think anybody who likes that stuff would enjoy it. So check it out,
Justin.
I will say pretty much anything from the 80s anybody can say that they've watched, I pretty much can link into this movie, or this series, I should say. I mean, seriously, if you like anything from the 80s, you're going to love this. I mean, it's hard to explain. I mean, it's just that good.
Adam.
What I would say is, if you like kid adventure movies like The Goonies or Stand By Me or E.T. or anything like that where it stars kids, you know, because nobody ever does kid adventure movies because they don't want kids to get hurt. But sometimes kids just need to use their imagination, you know what I mean? The kids need to just branch out and not watch, you know, something that's going to keep them safe, something that's going to not, you know, it's like, oh, don't go there because you'll get hurt. No. You know, these, you know, kids have to branch out and go out on their own. This is that. If you can't do that now, I mean, because you can't in this day and age. But if you're a fan of the kid adventure movies like The Goonies and Timmy, then you have to watch this movie because it does an incredibly good job of paying homage to those old movies. But it does it in a way that you don't notice it, and it's a completely different animal. Monster, I guess, would be
Demogorgon.
Yeah.
My final thing would be to look at somebody and say, listen, if John Carpenter, Steven Spielberg, I forgot all the awesome directors I had in my mind that quick because I was looking at a tweet. Craven, but I'm going more like, okay.
George Lucas?
It's Stephen King, George Lucas, Spielberg, and John Carpenter all got together. They brought them all together and said, hey, we need you to make something. This is what that would be. If you're a fan of like The Goonies, any of the 80s horror science fiction movies, and a little bit of X-Files in there, this show is for you. It's more than for you. But if you just like good acting, great, you know, cinematography, the way it's shot and everything, this is more than going to fulfill that need that you have. So we can't sing the praises of Stranger Things enough. And I have to read this too. This is once again from Dave, from his other account at GPI at the movies. Which you need to check him out because he gives a short, spoiler-free reviews of different movies, a lot of different movies and TV shows.
Completely the opposite of this one.
Completely the opposite of this one. He says, if 80s classics E.T., Poltergeist, The Thing, and The Goonies had a TV spinoff with a theme straight out of John Carpenter's Walkman, and then he gave it a 9.7, and I completely agree. And the other thing, if anything, you got to listen to the theme song of this. It will creep you out. And it is straight out of the 80s, man. We've got to give a shout out to our new theme song. It is brought to you by the gentleman Dual Core. If you can, check him out on Facebook. I'm not sure if he's on Twitter, but his stuff is amazing. So, Justin, tell us a little bit about where we can find you. What's going on with you, man?
Oh, pretty much I'm the gamer. I mean, that's pretty much what I do. you can find me on Steam under Spectre 13, PlayStation Network under Spectre 13, and Arctic Lightning under Xbox Live. I mean, pretty much I play them all. And then also you can find me pretty much anywhere online, anything you can think of under Spectre 13, just take that in and you'll find me. Just look for the Deadpool with the approving thumbs up. That'll be me.
That's him.
Jesse, tell us what's going on with you, man.
Oh, you can follow me at Stiznarchy on Twitter. I also run a show on the Rattlitch and Broadcasting Network called Source Material, where I go back and we talk some of the great and not so great story arcs that are in the comic book genre. We also have some good episodes where we're just kind of BSing our way and having a good time talking about the comic book culture. Check that out. We also do Twitter there, at SourceMattCast. I'm on a lot of other podcasts. I want to thank you guys. I want to thank you gentlemen for having me on here tonight. A lot of fun. A lot of fun talking to the Screaming Boy guys. There is a Metal Hammer of Doom that I was on this past Tuesday, where I got to talk about a new project that the lead singer of Clutch is in. It's called Dunsmuir, and me and Mark Radlich got to discuss that album. So if you guys like metal and you like Clutch, maybe you can go check that out. That was a lot of fun. Coming up here tomorrow on the Radlich and Broadcasting Network, I will be discussing with one Ronnie Adams.
Yes, sir.
A planned Jason Teasley and my
there's
buddy.
Your mistake.
that's what went wrong.
There's your problem right there.
Mark Radlich will be coming on to discuss. We're going to celebrate the release of Suicide Squad, and we're going to be talking Harley Quinn Volume 1 from 2014, the new 52 Harley Quinn. So it's nine issues. Lots of laughs and funs to be had. Funs, You ever have funs?
I have, how about Funyuns?
I like Funyuns.
I like Funyuns too.
Well, man, we're going to have a lot of fun. And I don't know.
As soon as I hear Funyuns, I keep thinking bad lip reading.
Oh, Funyuns.
Yeah. I think of every joke that's made about my last name.
Oh, ouch.
But it's cool, though.
Now I've got to start coming up with some new material for Adam here.
Adam Funyun.
I never put that together. So,
oh my, seriously?
Seriously, dude, never. Man. I don't pick on people because of their names. No. I mean, I would never do anything like that. Jesse Farcher.
See, the most creative one I ever got was Radish Onion.
Oh, jeez. You know. Wow.
Jesse, finish
my plug stuff. Yeah. So anyway, I believe at some point, it's going to be this week or next week, we will be discussing with one Jason Teasley the return of the Cheap Seats.
Yes.
From the Cheap Seats podcast, we're going to be discussing all sorts of fun stuff. Usually when football season hits, we've got the fires burning. They're relit. We're chugging on down the podcast canal. What do you think of that?
Yeah. I don't know where that went, but I went with it. We're heading there.
Hey, we got He-Man, Jesse.
That's right, buddy. Sometime this month, me, Ronnie, Justin Thomas, the Invisible Man himself, and a new source material guest by the name of Matthew Elder will be lending music for the intro and outro, most likely, of that show. We will be discussing. Now, Adam, do you remember the comics you got when you bought your He-Man toys?
When I got my He-Man? Oh, you're talking to me? My He-Man toys? What are you talking about?
Do you remember the comic books that used to come with those?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Okay, All right.
So there is two huge, I'm talking like, I don't know, a 2-inch thick volumes out there of all the comics that came out with the figures plus the storybooks. And we're going to pick two stories, I think is what we decided on. Each of us are going to pick two stories from those books, and we're going to discuss them and talk about the fun world of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. So
nice.
That is my 10-minute plugs. You guys want me to go another five? Because I'll pull up the schedule.
No, okay. Adam, what's going on with you, man?
I have recently got back onto Twitter. You can find me at Adam is a Nerd because that's the only one that wasn't taken. What else? I'm going to be tweeting out a bunch of really cool stuff. As you saw during this live broadcast, I was kind of tweeting out some stuff. There's a really cool, I'm not gonna say really cool, but there's a poll that asks you what your favorite character is, so check out anything that I put out on there. I'm hoping once we get everything squared away, Ronnie, you and I, we're gonna get the website updated, and we're gonna put some cool stuff up out on there. And but other than that, that's it. You can find me on mostly on Twitter. I'm gonna get off Facebook probably here soon and just push everything over to Facebook, but from Twitter. But you can find me on Twitter.
Sweet.
Okay. You can find me on Twitter at Shonuff @SH0NUFF. You can find this show on Twitter at Screaming Boy PR. You can find us on Instagram, which we are very active on there now. Instagram is Screaming Boy Podcast. Snapchat is Screaming Boy Podcast. No, Jesse. No, Jesse. Dad joke. So Snapchat is Screaming Boy Podcast. We also have, you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher, TuneIn, and the Radio Lichen Broadcasting Network. We will be back on there shortly. And then you can also find us at www.screamingboy.com. You will not find an updated website right now, but we are working on that. So be sure to keep tuning into that because we're going to have a bunch of stuff coming through. And then I think that's pretty much it. Other than Facebook, just look up Screaming Boy Podcast. And we really want to hear from you. So you can email us at info@screamingboy.com. Or you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, any of that. Send us a line. Let us know what's going on in your life, what you think about the show. As long as you're nice to us, we'll be nice right back. Go on iTunes, give us that 5-star rating. Click subscribe. Tell your friends about us because we wanna holler at them too. So Folks, I hope you've enjoyed the show. Guys, I've had a blast tonight. Thank you so much. And Jesse, you know you're part of the Screaming Boy family along with Justin and all the other guys. You are our correspondents now.
That's
so
right.
We got plenty more room as well. So, guys, let us know what's going on. You all have a good night. Dave Gillespie, you're awesome.
You're the man.
On Twitter, at GPI at the movies. And he's also known as that guy, Dave GPI, on Twitter, where he has a hilarious Twitter rants and you know, very
oh, great, man.
Oh,
they're
man,
awesome.
He's phenomenal. Oh,
I'll give a shout-out to his mullet.
His mullet pictures
he actually
are incredible.
He did post a picture of it, which is kind of funny because it was like almost instant. I asked for pictures,
I'm
and he delivered.
I've had that right there.
He also says, hashtag Adam Funyuns, let's get this trending.
Oh, God.
And it has been retweeted and liked twice now.
You brought it yourself, Adam.
You did. You did. Hey, y'all have a good night. What, Adam?
I was going to say, I normally do. It normally happens that way.
We're out.
Bye.